Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's the winner. That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two to the corner. Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in!
Let's go.
They score! It's the St. Louisan! Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saves them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne. We are here till 12 o'clock. Hope you're having a great day. Martin, we have a great guest list today. Rick Hummel and the new assistant coach with the Memphis NBA team, Neil Ivey, is going to join us at 11:15, and we'll have end of the day at 11:50. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about the NBA with 9 female assistants? They've been very progressive. I think San Antonio was the first. I didn't realize it had gotten to 9. I just can't quite imagine it in other sports. I think in baseball there have been some female trainers, right, on some of the teams. I think in football there might be a female or two on some staffs. And I don't mind the idea, but it's hard to I kind of picture it in the NBA. I don't know why.
Keith Hernandez took umbrage
with
a woman in the dugout one time.
God, whenever I think I'm an old curmudgeon, I'm like, okay, Keith's rant about a woman in the dugout will always keep me in a different class.
I've always wondered, too, if Gino Auriemma took over a men's program, what that would look like. I'm not sure if he'd be – I certainly wouldn't be as effective. I mean, nobody in history has ever been as effective, but I just wonder – if that personality meshes, or is it like Pat Summitt, I think, could coach men because she was a brilliant mind and tough. She was great. I don't know if Gino would be a great men's coach.
Do you think he wonders if he could do it?
Oh, I think he'd have to.
I mean, he probably thinks he could do it, but
like,
doesn't want to step out. I mean, also, he's got it great. Why would you leave?
And also, it's like, it has to be in the back of his mind. Frank DeFord wrote this book, I think it's called The World's Tallest Midget. Like, people would say to him, oh, you're a really good writer for a sports writer. It's kind of a backhanded compliment. So, like, with Gino, I think he has to wonder in the back, could I really be a great coach at the highest level?
His personality, and I've never really been around him, but based on what you've heard, well, I have never been around him, but based on what you've heard, I don't know that he could go into the group of guys and kind of boss. Don't you think he's known for being rather arrogant?
Yes.
Is he known for that?
And pretty brutal with his players.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. But I'm looking forward to talking to Neil, who is not related to Sam Ivey, different spelling. But Frank, when I was a kid, I swear, there was a game in eighth grade. We were playing somewhere in Kirkwood Webster. I got a piece of a Sam Ivey shot, blocked it. And then later, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a Demon Deacon at Wake Forest. There is no video, no witnesses I can recall, but I swear at one point, maybe eighth grade, I got a piece of a Sam Ivey shot. I blocked it.
The question is, Plowsy, after he blocked it, did Martin say, get the weak stuff out of here?
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Get it out.
And then the next three
get it
trips.
Out.
Huge smile showing off the white teeth
Dikembe,
to the crowd.
Finger wag. And then the next three.
Kind of like a Duke guy, some rich preppy guy blocking it. That's great.
Suddenly I'm
stepping
Danny Ferry.
Over him.
Yeah.
I'm tripping
Leitner.
Him.
Stomping on him like Amino Timberlake.
Who's our guy that was tripping everybody the last couple of years?
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, yes. Grayson Allen. And then the next three trips down, I believe Sam Ivey dunked over me, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
But different spelling, couple of great Ivies that came out of the St. Louis
and
area.
And, of course, and maybe the greatest Ivy of them all was Hercule Poison Ivy, who averaged 27 a game at Iowa State. And the subject of the best line in the history of Sports Illustrated, it would take more than a bottle of calamine lotion to stop Iowa State's Hercule Poison Ivy.
Ooh, I like that. And by the way, my question of the day, and you only have 22 minutes to get it. I'm not selling you on 90 wins. No. Will the commish, Rick Hummel, Hall of Fame sports writer, find anything to be positive about with your St. Louis Cardinals? He tends to be fair.
Gallegos.
Hey. He tends to be fair and slightly upbeat, but I don't know.
He'll bring up half game out of the second wild card spot.
Okay.
We have that going for us. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Bomarito 500 coming up on the 24th. It's going to be a special event. Let's begin with lap one. So this is really brutal. You have a pitcher who's absolutely lights out, and you still can't win. As John McKay from the winless Buccaneers might say when asked about his team's offensive execution, I'm in favor of it. This is 7 runs in 5 games. The margin of error for a Cardinal pitcher is thinner than Martin after an MAC workout. Not the 2.5-minute one. Did you ask about that the other day, Capozzi?
Well, I mentioned it, that he walked in there, I think, what, took a towel off his neck, did a couple...
What was the real story on that? Because Monique and I saw you in another room, and then we went to say hi, and you were gone.
Okay, what Frank is saying is true, but it's also inaccurate. And this is what Charlie would always say, a false narrative has begun, and I just can't stop this locomotive. I went in, intended to be there for a full workout. I think it was the shoulders, you know, upper
chest
body.
Chest shoulder day.
Chest shoulder. And as I got in there, I realized there was a permission slip that was due at Carson School. And I looked up at the clock and I thought, oh, crap, did I not take that in? And I texted, and the great Gary Kornfeld's wife, Mrs. Kornfeld, runs the show at our school. And I texted her and said, is that due today? And she said, yes, by 2 o'clock or whatever it was. And I looked up and thought, oh, man, I've been here for like 2-3 minutes. I'm going to have thrown some weights around, but I'm like, I got to turn this in. So I got up and I bolted. I'm like, but who cares? Nobody knows. And the next day, Frank said, were you in there working out? And I said, well, he said, were you there for like 2 minutes? I think I was there for 3. It may have set a world record.
The Kilcoin 2-minute workout? This could be like a
bestseller. New York Times?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, wasting time in the gym? Sign up for my 2-minute workout. But it was all because of my dedication.
There you go. Blame the kid.
To my son. It was a permission slip. I had to get, and then Brian, I believe back at the time, pointed out, well, shouldn't you have just turned it in on time?
Yeah.
Good point.
I'd like to talk to Mrs. Kornfeld, hear all the horror stories she has dealing with you.
To be honest, there'd be a few. There's a lot of, was that due today?
So the margin of error is thin, and unfortunately, the bullpen blew it in the 9th inning.
2-2 to Martin. Ground ball up the middle. Into center field for a base hit. Here comes Seager, and here comes Smith. And the Dodgers have won it again in the bottom of the 9th. This time it's Russell Martin, the hero.
The pride of Bradley, Charlie Steiner on the call. And to make it even more depressing, it's not like that was a rocket. I mean, that was a chopper that just happened to get through the infield that scored 2 runs to lose the game.
Yeah, I think Carlos Martinez got ground balls, which is what you expect from him. This is not hindsight. This was at the time. Because Andrew Miller isn't a lights-out lefty, and I understand the Dodgers have the dangerous lefty, so I understand why he's out there, and he did get Bellinger. This isn't a second guess. I said at the time, I'd rather just see Martinez. If he's your closer,
start the inning.
I'd rather have him start the inning, because I don't like Carlos coming in, and I don't like him having to deal with a mess. And I like him to have a clean inning. He may have still lost the game, and the wild pitch was brutal. But really, when Andrew Miller hit the batter, that just started the domino effect. You could feel it. Everybody saw that coming, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could feel it.
Now, if you really want a second guess, how about the fact, now, Gallegos had a 18-pitch inning, and he is your best relief pitcher. Would you agree with that right now?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, now, you pinch hit with him because you had Jose Martinez with a chance to get an extra run. I understand it, but there's also just a part of me thinking, gosh, you gotta win a freaking game here. You gotta win 1 game in L.A., and this is your best relief pitcher. Maybe you don't pinch hit and just bring him out in the 9th inning. I don't know.
So Baseball Savant, the StatCast, has expected batting average on every ball put in play, and it factors in launch angle, exit velocity, the distance the ball went. The expected batting average of Russell Martin's game winner yesterday afternoon was 0-9-0.
Meaning that hit or that batted ball.
91% of the time is an out.
Would be play.
Yeah, would be an out.
Wow.
And it did bounce a couple of times up the middle, just out of reach, which is probably what we'll be saying about October. It's just out of reach. I just prefer, and I know that's old school, but I prefer.
Maybe not just.
Okay, I prefer the closer. If he's your closer. Now, if he's been bad and struggling, that's one thing. But I think you just bring him in. The ninth inning is his.
Lap two. I will say this, and we're waiting for the commish to say something positive, and I'm sure it's going to be about finding an ace. 97 pitches, 7 innings of sheer brilliance, 10 Ks for Jack Flaherty in his last 6 starts, 38 and a third, 4 runs, 46 Ks. And they're hitting 144 against him. Jack Flaherty was spectacular.
The pitch, a swing and a foul, and grabbing it with a bare hand, Wieters holds on, strike three. The pitch, strike call on the outside corner.
There's a pitch, swung on and missed. He took something off of that, and Muncy way out in front.
He's really good, isn't he? Especially when he's pitching at home.
Yeah, and it's interesting, when his good friend died for the Angels, Skaggs, he had a couple of outings where he just wasn't there mentally, but he clearly was trying to dedicate himself, and he put it, the friend's name, Tyler Skaggs, on his shoe. I got to say, since, and not saying that's why, but he has really locked in. He's been the ace they thought he would be. He's the guy now. If you had a one game that you had to win, I just don't know that they're going to be in a position where it's a one-game winner-take-all. But right now, he's your guy. Last 6 starts, 4 earned runs. That's it.
Yeah.
And they've gone 3-3 in those games.
Yeah.
3-3 in those games. And in the 3 losses, he's pitched 21 innings, given up 2 runs. Think about that. 21 innings, 2 earned runs total. Those are the 3 losses they've had. That just can't happen.
So late last night, Dom and I were pounding down meatballs at midnight in the kitchen.
There you go.
And he said, I know this is going to sound kind of trite. But I don't know if you used the word trite. He goes, I know this sounds kind of obvious. He goes, they just need to get another star player. They don't have enough star players. So, Brian, free agency.
Anthony Rendon.
Wow. There's a star player.
Got a third baseman.
Oh, my goodness.
If you want to go for a pitcher, go for Gerrit Cole.
But
where would you play
these
guys? We got a third baseman. We got pitchers.
Because you know how we can't trade all these great prospects. We can't do that.
Can't trade anybody, not even on the major league roster.
So you just got to... I mean, this is not like a Dexter Fowler thing with these two, right? I mean, especially Gerrit Cole is just a stud. He changes everything.
I love the idea. I just don't see it happening.
100% won't happen.
But, I mean, you... Let's just say you'd be 4 playoffless years, and you don't want to trade anybody. I mean, you have to. The only strength you have is the DeWitt money.
And so, what's your rotation next year? It's Hudson, Flaherty, Michaelis. Those 3 are built in.
Yeah.
And then after that, you've got openings. You're not counting on Reyes anymore.
You know they're going to give another incentive-based Waino contract. He'll solidify a spot in the rotation.
Well, if he goes to spring training as your 6th starter or your 5th, I don't care. As long as you Look, if you happen to get Cole with those 3, I'd be fine with that and then take your chances on the 5th.
Yeah, but you brought up 3 starters, and I'm thinking Wainwright's your 4th starter going into next year unless you do make a Gerrit Cole-type deal. Yeah.
I understand some people have Waino fatigue, like they feel he's a tenured player. But if you took his stats from this year and just put Tim Smith and put his salary and said this guy's the back end of the rotation, I don't think people would care, would they?
No.
The money he's being paid for the results he's getting... Other than his name, people, he's not what he used to be. But he's not getting paid $18, $16
million. You know, he says he doesn't want to be an average pitcher. Well, you could be an average pitcher at that money. you're fine.
By the way, the Cardinals have 2 players, 2 starters in the top 15 in ERA since the break. It's Flaherty, who is 2nd.
And Michaelis.
At 0.86. And Michaelis, who is 13th at 2.18.
Yeah.
10 starts combined between the 2 of them. They're 5-5 in those 10 starts.
Yeah, I was going to ask how many wins.
Yeah.
Didn't Flaherty look disheartened, dismayed? They showed him kind of, and he had family he was obviously waving to in the seats after it all ended. But he's also been on the field as a runner twice when games ended. Remember, he got picked off to end one game, got thrown out at home to end another game. He has witnessed some real brutal defeats, some when he should have gotten the win as a starter, and 2 other ones when he was on the base pass.
Lap 3. Good news is the Cardinals are done with the heavyweights. Astros, Cubs, Athletics, and Dodgers. Okay? Birds 3-9. Now let's bring on the Pirates, Royals, and Reds. Let's bring them on. And maybe this could be the thing. Just pound the bad teams and somehow get that second wild card. The bullpen is going to wear out, I think. And you have some starting pitching, but certainly not enough. And then there's that lineup. I don't know. Maybe they can't get the second wild card.
I think a Dr. Rick day.
Yeah, I think the beauty is the division has kept you in it. But now, within a week, you lost about four and a half games in the stand. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Somehow, in the last week, you found a way to lose four games or so.
You went from first to third in your division over this West Coast trip.
Maybe less than a week from first to third.
How about yesterday, Matt Carpenter having a good day before injuring himself? And it sounds kind of strange, but he could actually be kind of instrumental here to get the second wild card spot. I know people don't want to hear this, but if a rejuvenated Carpenter is you know really there, that could help. Matthew Leach, MLB.com, was with us, and he gave us these thoughts on the demise of Carpenter.
It's a real tough spot, and I mean, I honestly don't know what you do, and that you know really gets into. I mean, look, honestly, the baseball answer is the guy should play less because he's as you know, limited enough at third base and is not as good a hitter, even though the guy they signed to play first base is not what everybody hoped necessarily. He's still not as good as that guy. I mean, and that's where that gets into a real challenge because, you know, look, you guys know me. I tend not to be a big soft factors guy, but I also know that Matt Carpenter is a big part of that clubhouse, and if you diminish his role, that gets real tricky in the clubhouse. So I think you have to subtly diminish his role, find as many ways to maximize him as possible, you know, and even maybe get into your sort of, you know, even get a little extra geeky in putting it out. I don't think that the front office is going to dictate to the manager, nor should they, but if I'm the manager, I'm like, tell me some situations where I can minimize the defensive struggles. Are there pitchers where we hurt less with him defensively than others? You know, what are the kinds of pitchers, not just right-handers, but what are the kinds of pitchers where he's more likely to succeed? You kind of trying to find those ways, and you kind of, to me, try to find the best 70 to 80 to 90 plate appearances a month.
Of course, it loves its chance. Well, if he does go on a tear, I'm not predicting that, but you saw him, what was he, on base four times yesterday?
Yeah.
We know that's in his resume. As frustrating as it is that he can be off and then he's on, it would be interesting. Now, I realize he got nicked up yesterday.
We'll see what happens now.
But if he were to go on a little mini tear, that could change everything because Goldschmidt has suddenly cooled off. I'm not counting on it, but I think you roll him out there until he doesn't hit. And then when he doesn't hit, you don't hesitate to take him out of the lineup. Also, if I'm Michael Gersh, John Mozeliak, I'm conferencing in Mike Gersh today, and I'm just reading some Tommy Edman stats and saying, we love this kid, too. He's real fun to talk to on the bench. You don't need to play him every day.
Lap four. Another topic. Derek Chivas, the all-time leading scorer at Mizzou. First-round pick of the Rockets, a guy who had an eight-year pro career, was with us in studio. Best story had to be with his recruitment. Normally, when you try to bring a kid to Mizzou, well, you actually take him to Mizzou. Not Derek, not the first time.
Well, actually, I never got to Columbia. They brought me to, Dan Dierdorf's restaurant.
Oh. Here in St. Louis?
Yes, and I was with Bob Costas, Dan Dierdorf, and I was at his restaurant because I had never seen a steak that big. And so before I even got to Columbia, I was thinking this is where the university was. You know, I seen the arch, and, you know, I had a family member
here.
Who lived here.
So you were at the downtown Dierdorf and Hart's location.
Yes, sir.
Costas and Dierdorf. And was Rich Daly a part of this? Or?
Of course.
Yeah. He was your guy, right?
He was the mastermind. He was the guy that basically could tell you gold was more valuable than what it really was.
So when did you realize you were in St. Louis and that the school was down the road?
I did not know that until I actually... they flew me in And to this small airport, and I see all these Tigers there. I was like, well, man, where's the arch?
Where'd it go?
Yeah, where'd it go? He's like, no, this is for the university. I was like, you know, when you're on a flight, it's so quick.
Right.
Whereas if they would have had me drive to go, I'd have been like, man, I don't think I can make this.
You know, it's really a great strategy by Daly. Because, look, what are you going to eat in Colombia? And Buchis is fine, but you'd rather eat a great steak in one of our preeminent steakhouses. That was strategic.
It was a genius move, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Derek still sounded a little confused about how they got him to say yes.
Exactly.
And by the way, I love Mike Kelly and Chris Gervino. If there's ever a game where somebody, if Chris is unavailable, I'd slide Chivas in to do a little commentary.
Oh, boy. Did we get a response yesterday? People just love his voice, too.
Yes. He has got a real cool delivery. He's a guy, and I didn't see him walk in or out. He's probably got a walk. He's just got that New York vibe.
Yeah.
And he was really entertaining.
So what colleges should do the same that maybe they're not thrilled about the actual town they're in? I mean,
Manhattan, Kansas.
Well, that's very good. Yeah.
Take
perfect.
Them to Manhattan and New York and say, how do you like Manhattan?
But, like, Athens is beautiful. I think Oxford is nice. Hallie, the intern, is here. Lexington, KY, is gorgeous. But Manhattan is a perfect example of that.
If you're like Syracuse, you ever just take a recruit to New York, Manhattan? It's like, hey, see, you're in New York now.
Not bad. Yeah.
I would think Ames, Iowa, you might want to avoid. I've never been. No offense.
Wow.
I'm thinking of places. I've always wondered, like, Chicago, DePaul should always be good. Because even if you don't get kids that are from Chicago, if you're from the sticks in Illinois or Wisconsin, don't you want to go to the big city?
I had a college coach tell me in the last month, that as soon as they fire Dave Leto, and that looks imminent because they're in trouble again, probation and everything, then that's the job that Porter takes and makes them great because it's a great conference. It's a four-bid league. It's his hometown. Doesn't have to move. You could make DePaul great.
Yeah, I don't want DePaul to be great because they play Marquette twice a year, but I've never understood. Ray Meyer obviously had that thing built up. Big cities, I would think, could get kids. Wouldn't you want to go to New York? Wouldn't you want to play in the Garden for St. John's? But yeah, you could fake it if you're certain schools. It's interesting because the SEC, a lot of those we describe, sound just beautiful, don't they? And a lot of the old Big 8, Big 12s.
Well, I got one that would be bad. It was Starkville.
That's Mississippi
State?
The
big difference between Oxford and Starkville. Yeah, Starkville's not.
So you meet them in Oxford and say, hey, you like Mississippi? You're in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Don't you like Mississippi State? Get them to... Oh, no, but Chivas was great. I really had... really enjoyed those stories, and Rich Daly was the master.
He was. How you get a kid from Queens, from New York, to come to Columbia, Missouri. And by the way, he was a high school All-American. He wasn't a project. He was great. So, all right, we're going to do lap five of Stream of Con because we're running out of time here. Chivas also said something kind of interesting, a Hal Holbrook moment.
When the number three goes to the rafters, how nostalgic about your Mizzou days and playing with Norm and the old Big Eight. Did it kind of bring it all full circle for you?
Not at all.
Did you want to elaborate on that? Or not at all. So you're... never mind. Not at all. I thought it was going to be this really great answer about, you know, I'd been away from the university for a while, and I started thinking about all those trips to Ames and to Lawrence. And not at all.
All right.
It happens.
A couple more quick ones here. I want you guys to explain this because I'm not sure which president did this. Doug's prison wallet. Tan suit, Frank, just like your favorite president? Way to ruin America? Who wears a tan suit?
Tan suit?
Well, Obama wore a tan suit and got crushed for it. Did you wear a tan suit?
I wore a tan suit last night. So Obama wore a tan suit once?
And they said presidents aren't allowed to wear lighter colors.
What a joke.
That was, at the time, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all Trump wears is blue?
And the red tie?
Yeah, almost all the time.
I think it's supposed to be slimming.
Oh, blue is? I thought black was.
Well, I think anything dark is better. If you're a little heavier, you probably avoid the lighter. That's what I've been told. Avoid the lighter colors.
And
I'm surprised Frank missed that. I think it was the Fox News lead for a couple weeks. Obama wore a tan suit.
Yeah. Obama looked good in a suit all the time. There it is, the famous tan suit. Finally, I want you guys to look at this right here. This is my belt, okay? Now, do you recognize? Have you ever seen this belt? Like something like this?
Is it a golf belt?
It is. So here's the story. Is that we got it at a golf tournament. We played at Stonewall. And so they gave these belts out.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're really cool because they you know, you click them and they're just really neat.
Kind of like a watch, the way it claps.
Exactly.
Clasps.
But here's the problem is, I don't know how to take it off. So last night I had it on, and so I'm trying to take it off, and it keeps going tighter and tighter, and I can barely breathe. So I'm yelling to Monique, Monique, help me out. And so here Monique, who used to operate heart-lung machines, puts on these glasses, and she's working on this thing, and I'm like dying. I can't breathe. It took us like 7 minutes. I'm laying out on the couch, and she's... So, but I put it back on today because I think it's so cool. I don't know if I'll be able to get it off.
This is going
to
be really embarrassing later tonight. Mike Bush. Frank. Frank, you're turning blue. Mike, can you take off my belt? Excuse me?
You've seen these golf shops, I imagine, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never heard of any casualties or anything because of them, but I have seen them.
Why don't you invite Plowsy to some of these golf tournaments you play in, Frank?
Yeah,
some of these
I'm
scrambles.
Really good with company. I promise I won't embarrass
you.
You
would be great to
I'm good
Absolutely.
With company. I like the fact that Frank had a near-death experience last night, and he put it back on today.
It's cool.
What was our guy Fernando? It doesn't matter other than how you look.
That's right.
You look marvelous.
All right, let's take a short time out when we come back. We're going to be joined by the Hall of Famer. That opening segment was brought to you by the good friends at Bomberito. Bomberito wants you to know that you can get a car done, a car deal done very quickly. Go to bomberito.com. Go through their extensive inventory of new cars, pre-owned cars. They have the best selection in St. Louis. We'll be right back.